It is printed in your bulletin, but I always encourage you, please bring your Bibles, take some notes in it. It's always a good thing. To catch you up to speed, maybe you haven't been here, Book of Ruth. It's about Ruth. Ruth has a mother-in-law named Naomi. Ruth was married to a guy who was one of Naomi's kids. We're not too sure if it was deathly or sickly, but unfortunately she becomes widowed, and so does Naomi herself. Elimelech dies. We have these two women, and through circumstances, God has brought them together, and they're now back into the land of Israel. Now, while they're in Israel, Naomi is filled with such bitterness, a lot of pain and difficulty. She doesn't quite know what to do, so she ends up sitting around the house. Ruth decides that she's going to go and do some work. So she ends up in the fields of a man by the name of Boaz. He's a man's man. Does not watch the Oprah Winfrey Network. He does not wear flowered ties. Yeah, thank you. Good old Boaz. Now Boaz decides to look out for her. He seems to be a man's man because he respects women, treats them correctly, treats them honorably. And this whole time we're thinking to ourselves, this is going to be perfect. Ruth, Boaz, what a great couple. We want the love connection. Yeah, are we rooting for this? I know that most women are. You know, you got to love a good love story. That's what seems to be happening here. But the problem is, at the end of chapter 2, it ends with a pretty sad ending, which is Ruth and Naomi are living together. So after 2 months of this process, 2 months of this harvest season, it's just really sad. Ruth and Boaz aren't getting together, and I don't know how that must have been like. I don't know if Ruth came home every night and Naomi would say, "So, how did it go?" And Ruth says, "It went fine. Did you see him? Yeah. Is he cute? Yeah. How did you look? I looked disgusting, pitted out. My hair is pulled back. I got a lot of grime. But you think something? I don't know, Mom. I don't know." And 2 months of this. And finally, it breaks. Finally, there comes a point in Naomi's life where she says, "I don't think I can wait around anymore." It's true, we get the same way. How many of us get impatient with God? We think that maybe God forgot about us. Maybe we think that God can't handle it and he needs a little help and we're just the person to help out our own lives. We sometimes get caught in that type of mindset. And so Naomi decides to do a little pushing. Ruth, chapter 3. So one day, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you'll be well provided for?" We kind of get a little bit of a different glimpse into Naomi. This is one of the first times that Naomi speaks selflessly. Up until now, she's very bitter, very angry. She's worried about herself. She wants to stay home. She wants to be taken care of. Here now, she's finally saying, "You know what, Ruth? It's time that we actually get you taken care of at this point." It actually goes back to a prayer that Naomi had prayed for both Ruth and Orpah, saying, "May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." So finally now, Naomi apparently is getting a little bit better. And so she's looking at Ruth and saying, "Ruth, it's time for you to get taken care of." Verse 2, "Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours?" We talked about this. This kinsman would be someone who is strong, someone who has a job and could maybe redeem the debt that's there against the land, and also be available to take in a spouse. And so Boaz seems to fit the bill perfectly. He's available. He's single. He's got a job. We like this guy a lot. And then this is when things get a little dicey. You tell me what you think of the advice that Naomi gives to Ruth. I won't even give comment. I'll give a little commentary, but I want to just see what you think. First of all, she says, "Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor." I do have to give commentary. What is this threshing floor? What it is in those days, after you harvested the stuff, you had to get the grains out of the stalks. And so what you would do is you'd put them in big giant piles and you would step on them, you would smash them, you would have donkeys step on them, you would millstone them, you'd do whatever it takes to get the kernel out of the husk. And after you've trampled them a bunch of time, you would take this big giant fork, you would go to what's called the threshing floor, and that would be an area that would be very open and very breezy. And the idea is that the wind should be blowing when you're threshing. You would take the fork, you'd put it in the pie, you'd throw it up in the air. The chaff, the really, really super light stuff, would be thrown down quite a ways because of the wind. The straw, a little bit heavier, would go a little bit, and it would land just near to you after you've thrown it in the air. But then the good stuff, the money stuff, that would land right back at your feet. These would be the kernels. So as you do this over and over, eventually you end up with just a big pile of grain, and you do this over and over and over again. This would be like payday. This would be a great celebration. It would often be done with food, with alcoholic beverages, with wine. It would be a celebration. And that's what would happen at these threshing floors. Problem is, other things happened at the threshing floor as well. Questionable things. Kind of like a bar where guys would go after payday and they would drink. There might be women there trying to serve in a certain capacity. This was not unlike back in those days. That's even what Hosea talks about. He says, "For you have been unfaithful to your God, for you love the wages of every prostitute at the threshing floor." So already from the beginning, if you're a Jewish person reading this, you're like, the threshing floor? This is already not shaping up to be a good scenario. You like Ruth, don't you? You like Boaz. You're going to find out that they're going to end up in a situation that I think would make most of us feel a little uncomfortable. Here's the advice. Wash, perfume yourself, put on your best clothes, then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know that you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying, then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he'll tell you what to do. What do you think about that advice? Yeah, you read this, you're like, I don't know if I like this advice. I agree. I don't know if I like the advice either. I actually love how Pastor Mark Driscoll put it. He asked the question, is Naomi crossing the line here? Well, if she's not crossing the line, she's dancing vigorously upon it. She is about as close as you can. Granted, what she's told her to do is technically not wrong, but it puts Ruth in the worst possible scenario. I mean, would you advise this for your daughter? Hey, that party you're going to tonight, you know, the one with all the alcohol on it? Yeah, what I want you to do is go to that party, but what you need to do, wash, dress up a little bit, put on something that the guy's going to like, splash yourself with some perfume, go, wait till you find a guy who's had enough to drink, and then when he goes lie down next to him, and just kind of see what happens. No? Yeah. This, I'm reading this, I'm like, Naomi, are you serious? I don't know. Now, again, there's some stuff in here that is kind of true when you think about it. I mean, women, you have figured out the best way to get to a man, right? Give him food, give him drink, and he's much happier, especially when you wait until nighttime. My wife knows this. There's been times we're getting ready to go to bed, and that's when, you know, I've had a nice long day. I've had, you know, I've been relaxing, watching some TV. I've had something to drink. It's great. It's the end of the day. My brain is not functioning properly. And that's when the question gets popped. Hey, honey. And I'm like, that's not fair. I'm weak. I can't think straight. Women, you guys can do it all day long, can't you? You're just straight as an arrow. Guys, we start off good at the beginning. We're sharp, mentally there. And then as the day goes on, we just decrease. Women, did you know this? If you have not figured this out, I've just given you some amazing advice on how to manipulate your husband. I mean, this is fantastic stuff, I'm telling you. And again, some people are trying to say, well, he was drinking. What was he drinking? Water? Maybe some Gatorade? No, they drank wine. It is not a sin to drink. It is a sin to get drunk. So if you cannot handle it, don't do it. Because drinking makes you do stupid things. The first thing to go is your rational common sense. So he's relaxed, he's loose, and I love how she says when he lies down, make sure you notice the place where he's lying down. You see, It's going to be at nighttime. It's going to be dark. He's going to be there along with other men. So when he goes to lay down, make sure you know where he's going to be laying down, because wouldn't that be a little awkward? You uncover the wrong feet. You hang out with the wrong guy. Again, this thing is rank with bad possibilities. There are so many things that could go wrong, right? She could get attacked on her way to the threshing floor. It's nighttime. While she's there, someone might see her and say, this is a great opportunity. Maybe there's others who are drunk. Maybe Boaz, the righteous man, maybe he won't be quite so righteous at this point. This is all designed to help us see what does it mean to actually have integrity when no one's looking. It also helps us to see who are we going to trust. You can almost hear this whole time as Naomi is telling Ruth, you just got to trust me on this one. I'll make sure and take care of you. Instead of trusting in what God was going to do, Naomi essentially runs out in front of God. I'm really thankful for stuff like this, because usually when people run out in front of God and take care of things, it usually ends in disaster, right? If you get ahead of God and start doing things that you shouldn't, thinking that you're hopefully fulfilling what God wants you to do, it goes badly. Abraham's probably the greatest example in the Bible. Abraham was told, along with his wife Sarah, you're going to have kids. You're going to have a lot of kids, tons and tons of kids. And they're like, we're old and we can't have kids. And so after a while, they're sitting there thinking, well, it's not working, so maybe God wants us to like take care of that. And so in comes the handmaiden Hagar, and Abraham and Hagar have a kid. His name is Ishmael. And out comes then two nations that are still at war even to this day. And God said, I don't know what you were thinking. That did not end well. And this is something that we've got to think about. I'm thankful that in this lesson, I'll let you know it actually turns out good. Here God is giving kind of a new lesson, saying, sometimes you may get ahead of God, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be instantaneous punishment. God can even take our mess ups, even when we get ahead of him, and he can still work some good things. Part of the thing that's also difficult is judging the motives of Naomi. I mean, I look at this and I'm not keen on Naomi. I don't think she's doing the smart thing. My opinion. I don't know what her motives are. But I don't need to know what her motives are, because there is someone that does know her motives, and that's God himself. In the book of Proverbs, all a man's ways seem innocent to him, but the motives are weighed by the Lord. We might be able to fool even ourselves. We might say, you know what, I think I'm really doing the right thing. But God knows what's really going on in our heart. Paul talks about that also in Corinthians. He will bring to light what is hidden in the darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. I don't know what's going on here. I don't know if this aggressive, because would you agree with me? This is rather aggressive. Sometimes we end up becoming so aggressive we move outside of God's will. I was stumbled across this video on Facebook, and it's a video of a guy who's rather aggressive in pursuing a girl. And it becomes very obvious that the girl doesn't want anything to do with the guy. And that's kind of what's happening here. Ruth is being told, you got to be aggressive. You got to go after him. Don't just wait around. Get in this guy's face. You know, go after him. Sometimes it's not good. And so, I don't know. Tell me what you think of this. I'm sorry, it might feel a little awkward watching this guy pursue this girl, but I don't know. Let's watch it now. Down. Oh, he's aggressive. Oh, look at that. Oh, yeah. Down. He looks up. Should I go again? Oh, yeah, I will. How aggressive can you get? Man, come on. Now, you got, watch this next one. This is great. He's going to go up. Now, watch this. She pushes, not too hard. You didn't push hard enough. I'll fall down myself. Okay. down. Yeah. Are you feeling awkward at this point? Down. This goes on for like 5 straight minutes. I'm not joking. It's hilarious. Talk about being aggressive. I don't know. This advice, I would say, is not wise advice. Can God protect you when you put yourself into stupid situations? Yeah, he can. Does that mean we should put ourselves into stupid situations? No. This is not good. Like I said, the amount of ways this could go bad is all over the place. But Ruth ultimately says, I trust you. I will, verse 5, I'll do whatever you say, Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. In comes Boaz. He's finished eating and drinking, and I like the translation. He was in good spirits. He's happy. I don't think he's drunk. But we also know that what does a guy do when it's the middle of the night? No one will know. No one will see. We would all probably go, yeah, that seems relatively normal. Gentlemen, being honorable does not mean being honorable in the daytime. It means being honorable all the time, especially when people are not looking. It hit me last night when after I preached the sermon, I didn't get a chance to go back because it really dawned on me that I needed to say something, and that is, I don't know how many people have really played it clean in their life. I mean, guys, we've done stupid things, right? We have. Sometimes we look at that and we look at a guy like Boaz and we're like, we want to be honorable, but we think we never really can. Maybe because we've done things in the past. Nowhere in this does it say that Boaz lived his life that way completely. In fact, sometimes I've met honorable men. And the reason why they're so honorable is because they were dishonorable in the past and they figured it out that what they did was wrong. So men, if you're sitting here looking at this going, I don't know if I could be that honorable because of my past, don't let your past define then what your future actions will be. Will you be honorable now? This is the real test, being in the middle of the night. He's just had a little bit to drink. He went over and to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. He's a boss that seems to be pretty active in the business. He was there. He didn't have to be, but he's eaten, he's drunk, he's there at the grain pile, possibly to guard it. If he does, he's a terrible guard because a woman can approach and he doesn't even know it. So he lays down, and you got to imagine, how nervous would you be if you were Ruth? You've been hiding in the shadows. You can hear Boaz's voice. He comes in with other guys. You're praying you don't get spotted. He lies down, and now it's the moment of truth. Ruth approached quietly. I'll give you another translation for the word quietly. You could also translate that ninja-like. Just say. She approaches quietly, stealthily, uncovered his feet, and lay down. I don't know how sexy uncovering a man's feet is after he's been working all day long. Yeah. But she lays down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. The word for startled, this is a true alternate translation. The word for startled also can be translated shivered. You could actually say he was cold. You just uncovered his feet. Women, why do you have to be such cover hogs? Can I just ask the question? Am I right? You know, they roll over and they take all the covers with them and you reach over to try to uncover. It's like unwrapping a burrito and you just sit there and shiver all night. Now, I had heard rumor, and I don't know if I believe it or not, I heard rumor that guys sometimes do that to girls. Is that? No, I don't believe you. I just don't believe you. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I got chastised after the 8 o'clock service. I had a bunch of ladies come up. You do realize that men do that to us, and we get cold. Okay. Maybe we're all cover hogs. So he starts shivering. His feet are uncovered, and he looks, and he discovers There's a woman there. It's pitch black. It's dark. Again, moment of truth, right? It's the middle of the night. No one would know. This whole thing is so sexually charged, you wonder, is Boaz going to be a man? A real man? And what about Ruth? So he kind of freaks out a little bit and says, "Who are you?" he asked. I love Ruth's response because she was told specifically by Naomi, "Shut up and do what he says. Don't say a thing." Well, she can't do that. Not going to leave it to chance. She actually blurts it out. "Well, I'm your servant, Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me since you are a kinsman redeemer." She's not proposing, but she is proposing that he proposes to her. He's essentially saying, "I'm available to you." Again, rather aggressive, but this would be something that wouldn't be too abnormal, but it's a little strange. And the spreading of the garment over the feet, the idea behind that is you would do that in this ceremonial way to say, I will protect you now. I cover you with my garment, meaning you now come under my protection, my love, my care, my concern. That exact same phrase is used also in the book of Ezekiel when God gives this analogy about how he encountered Israel and the unfaithfulness that she was like, and you know, likens her to this young lady, and then says, "Later I passed by, and when I looked and I saw that you were old enough for love, you are of marriageable age," he says, "I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your nakedness. I gave you my solemn oath and entered into a covenant with you." So what she says is, "Hey, Boaz, cover me. I offer myself to you." Again, moment of truth. Now, it's late at night. He's had a lot to eat and drink. No one can see anything. And the woman's available and willing. What do you think he's going to do? Well, we're very thankful for what his response is. "The Lord bless you, my daughter." Yeah, that's an appropriate response. Men, that's a manly thing to do. Not to take advantage, but to be respectful and honorable. That's what it means to be a man. "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor." We get a little bit more about Boaz. He's an older gentleman. And he's thinking to himself, "Look, I'm an old man. You could have gone after anyone you wanted to, but you're saying that you would be interested in someone like me." Honorable and respectful. And look at what he says. "And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask." Isn't that every woman's dream right there? Have the man say, "I will do for you all that you ask." I don't know why I chuckle at that. "All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character." Men, we are to be Boaz. Men of integrity. Men of honor. A real man's man. Women, it is good to be a woman of noble character. And not just doing it right, but I'm curious how a reputation then goes out. Again, that's really what guys love. Proverbs 12, "A wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones." Proverbs 31, "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies." I know, women, you don't believe us, but it's not about how the barn is painted. It's not that exterior. It's what's inside. Men, am I right? Yeah. Having a woman of noble character is extremely valuable. And then also, "The wife of noble character, let her give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate." So the question is, do people know that you are a person of noble character? Does your family know that you're a person of noble character? Do your friends know that you're a person of noble character? I think the same thing can be said also. Sometimes, I've spoken to the guys that, you know, sometimes we mess up. Girls, sometimes you might end up with a bad reputation. Doesn't mean you have to leave it that way. doesn't mean things can change. Do the people at your school know that you are a female of noble character? That, my friends, is more valuable than anything. That, I believe, is some of the most important ways for men and women as they court and love each other. Are they people of noble character? The externals, it's great when it all matches up, but that's not the focus here. These two are truly good for each other. You're hoping it's going to work, right? You're hoping this is going to be it? The interesting thing is, Boaz does not cover her. Through this whole thing, she said, cover me, and he doesn't. Do you know why? He drops the bombshell. The next verse. He says, and now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I'll do for you all that you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you're a woman of noble character. Verse 12, although it is true that I'm near of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. How do you feel now, women, at this point? You're like, yeah, yeah. Oh, there's someone else that, And again, this is what's really interesting about this is it tells you that Boaz was thinking about this, wasn't he? He actually did love Ruth and loved who she was, not because of how she was painted up, but because of who she was. And it's really fascinating that he had done some research and found out that there was someone that was closer in the family tree that had first rights refusal. Again, it wasn't a hard and fast rule. The law in the Old Testament said that it had to be a brother's obligation, but apparently got expanded to also other family members. And so he said, look, there's another guy. And I wonder if Ruth knew who the guy was. Boaz knew who he was. I wonder if he looked like Elmer Fudd. He probably wore a sweater vest. Probably subscribed to Women's Health magazine. Yeah, I tell you, I don't know. This would be very disheartening. What's interesting is that Boaz chooses to do what is right, not what feels good at the time. Doing what is right is important because he says, you know what, there's someone that's nearer of a kinsman. So, stay here for the night. And in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning. He's essentially saying, do you trust me? It will get handled. There's someone that's closer. We're going to let him. If he does it, then you're taken care of. And I'm sure he would think to himself, it would stink for me because I kind of like you, but I want to do what is right. This guy gets first shot. If he doesn't, though, then you have nothing to worry about. Lie here till morning. I love this guy. He is a man of commitment. Men, do not schwaffle. Be a man. Be a man of commitment. Don't let her come crying to you. Oh, why don't you love me? Why won't you commit to me? He's a man of commitment. I love it. Verse 14. So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. It's that part, you know, when night's turning to day and it's kind of hazy and it's going from dark to light. And before anyone could be recognized, he said, don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor. What is he doing? He's protecting her reputation. Men. That's what we do. Young men dating young women. Young men, listen to me. Protect the reputation of the people you date. It is not acceptable for you to smear her reputation by saying false things. Protect her. Am I right, parents of daughters? Yes, okay. You're with me. Verse 15, he also said, bring me the shawl that you are wearing and hold it out. And when she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and put it on her. 6 measures of barley? Good great. Now, who is this for, by the way? Naomi. He's bringing home, he's sending home an apple pie so that the mother-in-law will be well-loved. Also, 6 measures of barley would be anywhere between 58 to 95 pounds. Do you like this chick? I like her, man. She's hardy. She's going to put it up. She's not going to be like, oh, I'm going to break a nail. No, she's going to put this sack on her back, and she's going to take it on in. I love it. And then look what he says. Then he went back to town. Is he going to wait? Is he going to be lazy? Is he going to say, I'm going to do it later? No. He says, I'll do it now. He's a man of action. I'm working on this, baby. I really am. I tried to be like yesterday. I was a man of action. The ceiling fan that had been sitting there that I needed to install for the past, what, 3 months? 4 months? 5 months? 5 months? I did try to talk you out of it because I was lazy. I'm honest. I'll say that. I'm honest. But I did it. And how hard is it to change a light bulb? But I changed a bunch of light bulbs. I was a man of action. It'd be better if I did that more frequently. Do the dishes, honey. Yes, I've got to do that better. I'm working on it. He goes back to town. Then Ruth comes to her mother-in-law, and Naomi asked, how did it go, my daughter? Don't you love this? I mean, she's been staying up all night, right? She's been waiting. I wonder if my scheme actually worked. And she sees the lights come in, and she hops on the couch and holds up the magazine like she's just reading something else. It's often upside down. And she's been texting and phone calling and nothing. And finally, Ruth walks in the door and says, oh, how did it go? It's actually funny. The Hebrew, the actual phrase is, who are you? Isn't that a great question? So, who are you? Are you Mrs. Boaz? Yeah? Oh, I love this lady. Oh, good old Jewish mother trying to get her daughter married off. I love it. How did it go, my daughter? And then she told her everything Boaz had done for her. Done for her, not done to her. Big. I love it how she probably told the whole story, how nervous she was and how everything worked out. And she added, and he gave me 6 measures of barley, saying, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Isn't that great? I mean, I love this guy. Boaz is awesome. Well, especially the fact of not going back empty-handed, that would be the exact same word is used back in chapter 1, verse 21. Remember, when she shows up back into town, she's bitter, she's angry. She says, the Lord sent me away full, but the Lord has now brought me back empty. Yeah. Now, what Boaz is saying is, I'll take care of you, but I'll also take care of Naomi as well. I like Naomi's response. And then Naomi said, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. Instead of scheming, instead of plotting, instead of trying to manipulate the system, she says, you know what, let's wait on this thing now. That's a good reaction. I want to say one more thing about this. I don't know how many times I've seen people try to act like Ruth does when it comes to God. They say, I just need to impress God. I need to show God how good I am. You know, and we gussy ourselves up and we put on the right clothes and we wash ourselves and we go, see, we're now presentable and acceptable to God, and I really hope that God likes me. I don't think Boaz liked Ruth when she was all gussied up with perfume on and a nice dress. He liked Ruth for who Ruth was, a woman of noble character. God does not like you because of your external activities. He just simply loves you. Don't try to wash yourself. You can't. God has already washed you. In the waters of baptism, he says, I've made you clean. Don't try to put on the right clothes for God. It's not going to work. You're not going to impress him. He says, I'll dress you. I'll provide for you. Don't be running around trying to say, how can I make God like me? He already does. He loves you immensely. Now, of course, the question needs to be asked, what happens next? What will Elmer Fudd do? Will Elmer Fudd redeem Ruth and she has to end up going back with someone else? Will Boaz win? Will it work out for her? Will Ruth be protected and taken care of? You have to come back in 2 weeks to find the answer to that question. You can read ahead if you want. Next week, National Lutheran Schools Week, we're going to be celebrating the school that we have and the great ministry that's there. We'll be having some special stuff with that. So that means that it'll be on February 3rd that we will go Ruth chapter 4. I know what you're thinking. That's Super Bowl Sunday. I'm just going to say it. Real men go to church on Super Bowl Sunday. Women, are you with me? I'm telling you, Super Bowl Sunday hits and the place is packed with women. You want your guy to come? Yeah? All right. Amen. There we go. Thank you. Amen. Yeah. So men, can I tell you, The game doesn't start till 3:30, okay? We'll be done by noon. I can't promise a short sermon, but I'll try my best to get you out of here. It does not take you all day to prep for Super Bowl. If it does, I am expecting, I am anticipating, I am begging and pleading men, come to Saturday night service. And you could do that and boom, you have all day. But I'm just saying it, real men go to church on Super Bowl Sunday, and it doesn't matter because the Patriots won't be in it anyway. I don't understand this whole thing. Can I just say I'm a little disappointed that all these West Coast people are rooting for an East Coast team? Are there a bunch of Patriot lovers out there? Who are my Patriot lovers? I'm highly disappointed. They won't make it anyway. They're losing today. I don't know if that's true or not. But please, come. You want to hear the rest of the story, Ruth chapter 4? I'll give you a hint. It's probably going to turn out good. You're going to love it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your incredible love. Forgive us when we have run ahead of you, when we have not waited. And Lord, I know that line is so that line is so blurry. When do we act? When do we wait for you to act? It's hard. Lord, forgive us when we have not been real men or we have not been women of noble character. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, when we have tried to make ourselves presentable to you, when we have thought that you would want us to be more presentable before we come to you. But Lord, you just love us. You love us for who we are. So we ask now that as we go out in life, that we would change actions, attitudes, to be more in line with you and your will for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.